Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting live
from an undisclosed location in the universe with Iggy Garcia
and Adrian Arts. Join us as we explore the holistic, metaphysical,
and the spiritual realms every Monday night at 7
p.m. on WinthInsightsRadio.com.
Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com. I am Iggy Garcia.
And I'm Adrian Arts. Hi.
Hi, everybody. We want to welcome you to our show. Yeah, it's Monday, and it's pretty damn cold and pretty snowy out there, isn't it?
Snowy, slushy, cold, all of the above. Yes, it is.
Nice, nice.
Hopefully everyone
didn't have to go too far today.
Sound.
Yeah, yeah. Tis Monday, everybody. Another episode of With Insights Radio, and we are broadcasting live and from an undisclosed location, multiple locations actually. And we're just trying to get through the winter. At least I am. I don't know about you, but it's been kind of hard this year. This winter's been tough, hasn't it?
It's just begun.
Oh, you keep telling me that. I'm like,
well,
don't
understands.
Tell me that. I don't want to hear that.
December the 21st.
Oh, my gosh. You're right.
Right.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
Only, what, the 15th?
Yeah. I mean, it's not even been a month yet. I'm okay. I think it's just because the past few years has been extremely warm compared to the normal
more
winters
like it.
That we were used to. And, mm-hmm. you know, really the past 3 years have been unusually warm. So that's this is the winter I remember out here in Ohio. I don't know what everybody's making a big fuss about. It's crappy. It's cold. There's
yeah.
snow and ice and slush on the ground and This is how it always was when we were kids.
You're right. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you there because when we were kids, this is how it snowed. It snowed pretty damn good. I remember the blizzard of 78 being snowed in, so I'm sure you remember that. Pretty. That was a pretty crazy time.
Everybody's posting a lot of stuff about that blizzard, and I just really wanted to post on my page, would you stop talking about the blizzard of 78? Because you're all collectively manifesting a blizzard this year.
Yeah, don't. Stop. Stop, everybody.
But, you know, it wouldn't do me any good.
So. Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. You know, you're correct.
That's true stuff there. Yeah. Stop
you start manifesting
about
stuff.
The blizzard of 78.
Yeah, no more blizzards. Shh, everybody stop. Think of nice sunshine and beautiful days. You know, maybe then we'll get more of those. Well, look, we manifested, what, 60-degree weather the other day? And, of course,
we did.
There's always one in the group going, oh, but it comes with snow. And then we got more snow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Person
you, know, you, just, you can't make everyone happy. For anyone that doesn't like snow, you need to move. To leave Ohio.
Get out.
Quit your whining yeah. about it.
Yeah, I mean, you got a point there. Hey, stop it. Like my dad would say. My dad would say, hey, stop it.
Yeah.
Hey, stop it.
I don't like the, like tomorrow's supposed to be bitter cold is what I call bitter cold. 12 degrees or less.
Yeah.
But I think 12 degrees is supposed to be the high. So that's going to be cold. You know, I can handle driving in slush and snow, and I can handle all that. But my body has a hard time handling cold, that cold. I wasn't, you know, too bad today. This 28 degrees, I'm okay with that. 12 degrees, not so much. Yeah. I'm going to be
it's
like
too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it won't stay like that forever. And our winter is just starting. I hate to burst anyone's bubble there, but It is just starting. It's, we're probably going to have snow up until April. So, you know.
Well, man, you're full of fun. Full of fun today.
I'm full of reality for Ohio.
Ohio weather is cold, cold, cold.
Yeah.
Snow, snow, snow.
It will definitely have snow all the way through to March, and there's a good chance we have had snow in on Easter in April before. So that's always a possibility.
You know, I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah, it's happened quite a few times.
So those of you who are tuning in, those of you who are tuning in and listening, if you have anybody to blame, just blame Adriana. She predicted this.
Oh, it's all right. I'm good with it. You know, the ground, Mother Earth, needs the water. Whether it comes in rain or snow, she needs the water.
Mm-hmm.
Our plants need the water. We need the water. So,
mm-hmm.
bless the snow.
This is true.
You know? Bless the waters.
Bless the waters.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So,
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you.
I'm going to pull a card from my water. I'm going to pull a card from my water deck.
All right.
See what we have. I pulled the Knight of Water. This card stands for emotional, romantic, enthusiastic, contemplative. Falling in love. Or wedding proposals. The need to balance emotions. And an invitation to a social event. So this is just a general card for everyone. And there is a need to balance emotions right now. I can totally relate to that. Not so much falling in love in the wedding proposal, but you know that I'm sure that rings true for someone out there.
Sure.
But yeah. And the social events are happening left and right with invites. So, you know, there's one out there that might lead you to Mr. or Mrs. Wright.
There you go.
Or
Mr. or Mrs. Wrong.
That's what
but...
you're looking for.
That happens too, unfortunately. We'll stay positive. I'll pull a card too. And the card I pull is actually from the deck called Native American Oracle Cards. These are the ones you got me for, was that for my birthday you got those? Or for Christmas? So I'm using this card today. So today I pulled the Otter. So Otter is here to remind us that spring is around the corner, not to panic, not to worry, and to remember to play in this time. To not get so lost in your emotions and feelings, and cabin fever can set in. So the Otter reminds you to play and to be social, to be active the best you can. It's also about water. It's about purification and cleansing. So the Otter is here to tell you that a couple warm showers, you know, ceremonies, something that has to do with water will keep you in the right directions.
Snow.
Snow.
Your
yeah,
card goes
of.
With my card.
They sure do.
Yeah. The balancing of the emotions and the social events. That's awesome.
Good.
Yeah, I pulled out, I have my deck that has the elements. So, if we do any reads, I've got, I'm going to ask, you know, someone to pick an element, whether it's earth, air, fire, or water. And that's what I'll pull from for him.
Let's take a caller now. You want to take a caller now?
Okay. Sure.
Let's take one now. We have a caller online here. Let's see where they're at. Hello, caller. Can you hear us?
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Hey.
Who's with us?
Hi.
Who's with us today?
My name is Shanice. Hi, guys.
I didn't catch your name.
Shanithia.
Uh-huh. Hello there.
Shanithia.
Hi.
Okay.
Thanks for tuning in tonight.
Thank you for taking my call. Thank you guys for taking my call. Could I ask you
what's
a question,
on?
Or is it a topic that I'm
saying? Do you have a question? Anything in particular? Or
yes, ma'am.
What's going on with you?
I wanted to know, do you see an ex contacting me?
I'm sorry?
I want to know, do you see an ex contacting me?
Your ex contacting you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I have my element card, so pick an element of earth, air, water, or fire. Which one resonates with you?
Can resonate with me. With me or him?
With you.
Water.
Water, okay. So you almost sound like you're hoping for your ex to contact you.
Yes, just for a conversation. Nothing to reconcile. Just conversation. See how he's doing.
Well, regarding your ex contacting you, I picked the Four of Water for you. This card represents missing an opportunity, discontentment, or boredom, and it's basically telling you to open your eyes to the possibilities that are out there. I don't, I personally wouldn't take that as a good sign that he is supposed to even contact you. I think it's pretty much telling you to open your eyes and look for other possibilities.
Okay. Thank you.
Iggy, do you have anything?
Ma'am?
No, I'm not picking up anything. And the only thing that I did pick up, real briefly, was about self-care. About actually taking care of yourself in the process while you're doing this. situations like that can actually bring up a lot of emotions and triggers. There's a reason why they're called exes and why they've moved on or why you've moved on from them. So kind of take yourself back into that frame of mind too. Also protect yourself. Make sure that you create healthy limits and boundaries with this person. So that's all I'm really picking up. I hope that helps you out.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
In.
You have a nice evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
That could be a tough road to take, isn't it?
Hey, there's plenty of fish in the sea out there, let me tell you.
Yeah, there sure are. And
there
turtles.
There are. Yeah. Seahorses.
I mean, you can catch yourself in a situation where, you're... Go ahead.
Well, they are exes for a reason. Something did not go right or resonate in that relationship, and that's why you're not together. And whether sometimes, depending on the closeness of the relationship, you might want to maintain or even get to where you miss being with that person or aspects of being with that person. But like you said, when it comes down to it, don't ever really forget why you're separated, what happened, what that was, that one thing, because that's the biggest thing. If you were to get back together with an ex, that's the biggest thing you have to, the biggest hurdle you have to get over. Nine times
this
out
is
of
true.
Ten, it's not something that you're going to be able to get over. That's why you're split up. But, not always, but for the most part. Just,
I believe there's occasions where things can work out. And I mean, there's occasions, but from the experiences that I've seen and other people's experiences, you know, it's very rare, you know, it's rare. And sometimes it's exciting to go out and venture off and see what else is going on in the world, you know, besides that world that you created a long time ago with somebody else. And, you know, you really got to sit down. And you made a good point about this in the past, you know, where you make a T-square and you put the pros and cons and, you know, and you put down what's good, what's bad, and what you like, what you dislike, you know, and and then you weigh it out.
Which one outweighs the other.
Yeah. And then you still have to make the final decision, even if it outweighs one way or the other, you know.
That you do. But when you see it in black and white, looking at it, it's a little bit different, isn't it? When you have to put your
absolutely.
Own handwriting in black and white, and you see what you consider good on one side, bad on the other, you know, as far as a person or a relationship or a job. You can use this in any instance in your life, the T-square method. But when you see it in black and white, you're seeing on paper what you wrote down, what you know to be good and bad. And when you have to look at your own words, know that that's your own feelings, you kind of have a different view.
Yeah.
Okay, it helps to make decisions, I can tell you that, from my personal experience anyway. It definitely will help you make some decisions. And I have to honestly say, my T-squares have never failed me. They've always been right.
Well, you know, that's good. I mean, at least you have a standard and you follow it and it works for you. I know for some people it's a difficult thing, you know, because they're attached to whatever they're attached to. But the biggest thing is when you see that in writing, when you see it in writing, you know that you can't really lie to yourself. I mean, you can lie to everybody else around you. That's no problem.
Right.
But when it comes down to it, you know when you're honest with yourself, or you know when you're telling the truth, you know, and only you know that. So you'll come to a crossroad at some point. It doesn't matter when, but sometime you will. It may not be the way you want it, but you'll have to make a decision, you know, and sometimes, you know, facing the monster, you know, and going, well, you know, I'm done with this, is the hardest thing for people. But once you face it, I think you move on. There are situations I've been in where, you know, I've made decisions to stay, decisions to move forward, no decisions at all, you know, throughout my life. And I know how it affects me when I make those decisions. And some I regret, some I don't. And some of them, you know, I'll never know because I never took that step.
Yeah.
So it's like
I think we've all been there. You know, I held on to a relationship in particular. I went back and forth, and just kept trying because it's something that I really wanted in my heart. I wanted it to really work. I wanted it to be the last one, you know, in my life. This was it. It's either this or never. That's how I was about it. But I did that T-square. And even the first time I did it, you know, it was actually pretty close. This was one where it wasn't, you know, really out of balance at all. It was actually neck and neck. But so, you know, I didn't make that decision. I'd keep going back and then try again and again. And after the third or fourth try, then the T-squared wasn't so equally balanced after that. It started, every time I'd go back, it was harder. Every time I'd go back, something else would happen that got added onto the bad side of the T-square. So, you know, you can try and try. But,
sure.
And, you know, but like I said, it always, if I listened to it the first time around, probably would have saved myself a lot of heartache, and that's just my personal experience, because it definitely was a heartache. And you know, I can get over physical pain a lot easier than I can the emotional pain, the heartache, the heartbreak, because for someone to get into my heart, if they had to chip away at a wall, practically, that I had built as my border, you know, my boundary.
Sure.
And so to get into my heart, it took a lot to get there to begin with. Once somebody's in my heart, then it's really hard to get them out. I'm that type of a person. It's not easy to get into my heart, but if you're in there, then it's hard to get you out of my heart. If something was to happen and I needed to move on, if I have my heart involved there, then it's really hard for me. It's hard to let go at times when you listen to your heart. But
yeah, it's like it's got its own brain in there. Yeah,
it does.
It's almost like it has a little brain in there, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know,
but the big brain says
when people are in love. Let's take puppy love even as a teenager. When you have your first love, you can't eat, you can't sleep. All you do is your mind is consumed, and you think about this person, and you got butterflies in your stomach. You know, that kind of stuff can be detrimental to your health.
So, yeah, it can be.
You don't eat, you don't sleep. I mean, seriously, it affects your health. It's the healthy limit and boundary there. But the same is true the older in life that you are and the relationships you have and marriages, whatever, live-in, partners, whatever. The same is true. When you have problems, it affects you physically. Your mind gets consumed with problems, how to solve them, trying to make it work, what you got to do to change, to make this right. Your mind is overwhelmed. So you have to find that even in relationships, just what we've actually came out in these cards, the emotional balance there is extremely important in relationships. You have to not let something consume your mind to where it affects your sleeping and your eating habits. You know, you are number one, whether anybody wants to admit that or think of themselves. It's very hard for someone to think that they're number one and they have to be good to number one. That for a nurturing person, for a very giving person, that's the hardest thing to do, is to put yourself first before the person that you love. But so many times in love, we give away ourselves. We let people take advantage of us and everything else when we're in love, because we're an easy target. We're the nurturing love that wants to be there and make everything right, you know. And it doesn't matter if I'm not eating. I want to cook for you and make sure you have a full belly because you're upset. For my answer is to feed you, you know, to make you feel better. Make you, if you're sick, make you soothe. But see, you know, the nurturing part comes out. And so you kind of lose sight of yourself and you don't take care of yourself. You're too busy taking care of that other person and putting them first.
So yeah,
you also have to find that balance there. It does. When most
relationships take work.
Well, when they fall apart, it's usually because one person's doing the giving, the other one's doing the taking. And that's almost always right. There's one person doing all of the giving, and there's the other person usually doing all of the taking. There's no balance there. And that's what you have to strive for in a relationship, is the balance.
Yeah, but you know, that's how it is. I mean, you're right, though. Sometimes one person gives more than the other over time, or vice versa, and then there's resentment builds up and all kinds of craziness and stuff.
Yeah.
And then sometimes things just run its course. I mean, you don't want it. Sometimes you don't want things to run its course, but they just do. And I mean, I can't explain why that happens. It just does. I mean, I've seen countless people go through situations where, you know, they put everything into something, and then it doesn't work out. But we do that in other things too, not just human relationships. We do it with animals. We do it with, you know, businesses, you know, schooling,
yep.
whatever, you name it. You do it. You put more into something and then you don't get the return that you expected, or, you know, the return that you wanted to manifest. But
or you're giving away so much of yourself and someone's not appreciating
yes.
it, like in the workplace.
Yes,
you know?
That happens a lot in workplaces. And, you know, and everybody's
yes,
appreciation
does.
Is different. Everybody's appreciation
mm-hmm.
is very different. You know, the employee who works for you believes he gave, you know, 100%, and you believe he only gave 50. So
right.
there's a fine balance, and that balance is really weird, because when do you move into that space where you think that you've done enough or you haven't done enough? I think there's a part of you that knows that you've done enough, and there's another part that knows you that you could have done more. And for those who don't really give and just use for the moment, I believe they know when they've not given enough, and the reason why they're getting the responses you do. I really don't get yelled at or screamed at when I'm working. I do my job. I do it right.
Yeah.
And I do
yeah.
it to the best of my ability. But I see other people, you know, they're constantly having issues with their boss. They're constantly having issues with their jobs. They're having, you know, issues with something or someone. So I don't know. I don't know what
mm-hmm.
it is that causes human beings to act a certain way or respond a certain way.
It's that snow.
I'm gonna get a snowball and throw it at you. Snowball fight.
Yeah, your poppy was wanting me to have an old fashioned snowball fight again with him.
I saw that.
He meant...
yeah,
he
loved that.
He's funny.
Yeah, he is.
Funny.
He's a good guy.
Mom and your dad. Uh huh.
Yeah, I spent some time with them yesterday. It was nice to see them and hang out with them. And I actually hung out with my little sister, too. Got to talk with her a little bit and hang out with her because she had to work late. And she was pretty much telling me what the story we're talking about, the employees and stuff, and how, you know, people just don't give the same effort they used to. And, you know, it's, I don't know, kind of funny.
Yeah. Seems to be a theme tonight.
Well, you know, it's a good point that you brought that up. So, you know, here at the break, when we take the break here at the bottom of the half hour, we'll talk about that a little bit, about generational gaps and different things like that. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, when I was, you know, you look at the old school working, you know, my mom, my dad, your mom, you know, and your family, your older
mm-hmm.
generation, their work ethic is different. It's very
mm-hmm.
almost a parochial style way of looking at life. You know, it's, you go to your job, you work hard, and you should be rewarded for that. You should be given something
mm-hmm.
for that effort.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom and my dad kind of fall in that category. I've seen them throughout their lives, you know, tell me, you got to work hard. You work hard and you save your money, blah, blah, blah. My dad won't invest in the stock market and stuff like that. He would rather have his greenbacks in his pocket and, you know, just let them
that's
pile
smart,
in his
man.
Pocket, you know. Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't
man.
Gamble with, but that's how
yeah.
he is. And it served him.
Stock market,
you know,
is
served
like,
him
yeah.
pretty well.
Like a slot machine.
And, you know, the
that's
funny thing,
stock market.
It is. I mean, but right now, you know, I was trying to explain
yeah.
to my mom, you know, how the market is up pretty high right now. Now that,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have a new presidential, a new president in there, and
mm-hmm.
certain things change, certain things happen. Right now, the stock market's been at an all-time high since he's been in office for a year. It hasn't really fallen too much, which is kind of bizarre, if you ask me.
You don't hear
it wasn't
anybody
like that when Obama
counting
was in office.
Yeah. You don't
no,
hear anybody too moaning
on
that one, though, do you?
No, but, you know, if you know finances, if you know anything about finances, that's a good thing, and that's a bad thing at the same time. Number one,
mm-hmm.
the good thing about it is that means there's money being moving around. There's things exchanging hands. There's industries producing. There's something going on. The bad thing
yep,
is
there's more jobs out
it's,
here.
It's up so yes, jobs and it's up so high that it could fall to the middle or it can crash. But I don't really see it crashing, and it's just the way it is right now. Is it always going to be like that? Possibly not. But right now we're in a good situation. And I think it's hard for people to, and I'm not trying to talk politics here. I'm just trying to talk about the generational gaps and stuff. So let's go to the break real quick. So you can gather your thoughts, gather my thoughts about what I want to talk about, because I believe this is important to address certain things and how maybe we perceive things. We'll be right back, folks. We hope you're enjoying the show.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self. Welcome back to WithInsightsRadio.com. I'm Iggy Garcia, and I am here with Adriana Arts. And we are kind of just talking a little bit about, you know, what's going on in our worlds and the things that are happening around us and how we perceive the world, relationships and all kinds of different things. I kind of brought up a subject a little bit about generational gaps. Later on the show, we'll take some card readings. So that number is 646-595-3440, for those of you who want to call in a little bit. But we were talking a little bit about our mom and dad's generation, how they, you know, see the world and how they work the world. And yeah. So what do you think about that? I mean, do you agree with that statement, or is that just something? Is that just a blanket statement? Just a, you know?
Oh, no. No, I totally agree. You know, we were raised, you and I both, by parents with that work ethic. You get up, you go to work, you should be rewarded. I get up every day and go to work, you know. The reward, you know, sometimes I wonder, am I just wasting my time doing this? But, you know, you have to survive. You have to go get up and make money. You have to. And I choose to do it legally instead of illegally, the easy way. So.
Right. But, thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah. So a lot of people have misconceptions about me and what I do for a living. But anyway.
I don't.
You know, I get up every day, I go to work. I hardly ever miss work, but that's my work ethic. Now, younger people, I can tell you right now, I have a hard time finding anyone under the age of 40 that wants to actually get up and go to work every day, that wants to work normal daylight hours, B, and do any type of manual labor, C. I have a hard time. Anyone under 40, it just doesn't seem like they want to learn how to do a skilled trade at all. And when you work in the trades, the trades are a dying breed out there, literally. I mean, it's just a dying breed.
And you know,
and unfortunately,
that's where the money's going to be at.
Well, that is where the money's going to be at, and there's not going to be anybody out here that's going to know how to do anything, because it wasn't, you know, what they were taught in school at their age or whatever. But they, you know, they don't have, I don't think that there's trade schools and tech schools so much out here that you go to anymore, you know, while you're in high school to learn the art, the metal, woodworking, working with metal, working as a machinist. That's what I took in school, you know, for 2 years. As soon as I graduated, they shut every machine shop out here. Timken Roller Bearing was one of the big ones out here. They shut every one of them down, you know, right after the B-2 bombers were being made back in the 80s.
Right.
Yeah, right after that, they shut all of the machine shops. They shut down General Motors. That's where the Hollywood Casino is now. General Motors was there for 30 years. There was a ton of machine jobs in there. That's why I was planning on going to work when I got out of school. But they shut that down, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of, but everything got replaced with, you know, everything with robots started coming into the picture and computers and robots and everything's on conveyor belts. And that replaced the person standing in line putting on those car parts and machining and making the screws and the parts and the things for the cars. That's what I took for 2 years to learn to get a job in doing. And as soon as I graduated, pretty much that whole part of the system just collapsed. So, yeah. But I still have that training. I could still, you know, still put me on a lathe or a drill press, and I'd probably figure it out.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, you're pretty handy.
Women were the ones in the factories making everything when the men were all
Rosie Riveter. Yep.
In the war.
Yeah.
But you know, we're liable to go back to that. But the bad thing is there aren't really any facilities that have the equipment now for the trades.
Well, there you go. That's an issue. I mean,
you find a younger person that wants to go to work and actually do any type of manual labor? I haven't found. I've put ads and looked for people in the trade, put out ads looking for them. And you're lucky if you get running ads for a month even, and you're lucky if you get 10 replies.
Wow.
That's sad. Yeah. And people say that there aren't any jobs. That's crap. There's a ton of jobs out here. There just isn't anybody that wants to do the work.
I hear you. So for those of you who want to know what the six generational gaps are, okay, you know, there's a breakdown, and that breakdown goes like this in America, okay? Traditionalist or silent generation, anybody born between the 1945 and before, okay. The baby boomers, they're born from 1946 through 1964, okay. Generation X, 1965 to 1976, so I would be in the Generation X group. Millennials or Gen Y, they're from 1977 to 1995, okay. Gen Z, or centennials, okay, are born in 1996 and later. Okay, so millennials are one group, and then the Gen Zs are the groups that are kind of more active now in our generation, especially the Gen Zs. I'll get into the millennials a little bit, because I posted something the other day about millennials, but I posted it as a fun thing, you know, not necessarily to be nasty or rude to anybody. And because, Generation X people, we like to laugh about ourselves and make jokes about, you know, people in our society and our groups and people who, you know, we associate with. And it's fun to laugh at ourselves and joke about that. But millennials and Gen Zs are not like that. They're very different. Okay. Because I posted this post and then I had to think about why they reacted the way they did. They took it real personal. It was pretty much the storyline. And the gist was, this young girl was applying for a job, and she was on her phone texting. And everything's exaggerated, so everything's supposed to make it look funny, okay? And just make them.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't portray all. It doesn't portray all the millennials. It doesn't portray all the Gen Zs, okay? It's just comedy. It's humor, and it's supposed to be funny. You're supposed to laugh and say, "Oh man, some people in my group are like that. Some are not like that." But by chance, actually know some people who are like that. And so it was even more funnier to me because this was a trigger for me, number one. And number two, it was funny because I'm like, oh, my God, this is the human being that I know. And they act like this to some degree. And I thought it was just a joke. I thought it was just funny. But, you know, and then you see their behavior. But what was funny is this guy, she's going through the interview, and she's interviewing the process. And the older guy, he obviously is a baby boomer. And he's going through the process of interviewing this human. This is a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks her a couple questions, you know, and it's about technology. And she goes, yeah, I'm on Facebook and I'm on Twitter and blah, 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 all the social media things. And that's not what he was looking for. He was looking for somebody who can run, you know, systems and computers and stuff. But the funny part for me was this. He says, okay, it sounds like this is a good fit. And, you know, you can start work at 8 o'clock in the morning. She froze and she stopped. And she was like, 8 o'clock? And he goes, yeah, 8 o'clock sharp. I'll see you at 8 o'clock. And she's like, well, I don't even get out of bed until 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, so that was the parts that were funny to me because it's like, she's like trying to dictate the, you know, in this particular skit, which is supposed to be funny and you're supposed to laugh at it. And he's like, well, I don't need you at 10. I need you at 8. And she's like, well, I need to talk to the HR person. And he's like, well, you don't even work here yet. So why would you even want to talk to an HR person? And she was getting upset. And she was like pretty much like accusing him of being rude to her, you know. And he's like, she goes, you're going to fire me? And he's like thinking to myself, you don't even work here. How are you going to get fired? You know, so at the end of the skit, he had to fire her. And she wasn't even hired. So I started laughing because that was so extreme. It was like so extreme. And I was just like, really? And I said, I know people like this and they act like this and they get really bent out of shape. And of course, my millennial friends and my little Gen Z friends who come through there, some of them were insulted by it. It wasn't like that was rude. It was insulted. They were insulted that I would categorize everybody in the same boat and I would put everybody. What's that?
No. I was wondering why.
They were insulted because it was a blanket statement. Because it was a blanket statement about all millennials, which isn't true. When you make satire and comedy and stuff like that, you're talking about a segment of your population. They always act like that.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's the thing about the baby boomers and Generation X. We laugh about stuff like that. We make fun of that. You know, we make Saturday Night Live and we make skits about Donald Trump or about somebody else, you laugh at them, you know, but no one has a problem with that, right? What's the difference? There is no difference. You know, why would we make fun of somebody who's trying to do something, you know? And you know what? This guy won. But the point was they took it to heart. And I'm like, why are they taking it to heart? You know, isn't it some part of it funny? Isn't any aspect of it funny? And it was more about, you know, how we categorize people and how we put people into labels. And I said, you know, I'm thinking to myself, but I didn't create these labels. You know, I didn't create these six generational labels for these people. So I'm just trying to find the humor in the things and through the experiences I've had. And I haven't really, I don't know, Gen Z generation, the centennials, they're a little bit more, they're a lot different than the millennials. Into who they believe they are. So they're into the transgender parts of themselves, the aspects of themselves that is a boy, girl, and, you know, like a chameleon, almost like changing and being able to be more than one sex, to be more than one, you know, type of human being, that you're not labeled by, you know, being man or woman, or if one day you want to be, you know, dressed like a boy, you can, you know. So it's a whole different idea. It's still developing. So, but I find it really fascinating. I find it fascinating because it's kind of like they've almost kind of taken pieces and parts of all the other ones and kind of put it into that category. But it's interesting. What do you think? I mean, how do you think? I mean, I don't know if you saw that video, but I thought it was pretty funny.
I did not. So I really can't comment on it, but from the sounds of it, it wouldn't surprise me if most of that stuff would be based on real life anyway. So even the things that we make jokes about are based on real life things that actually happen. So I'm sure that
right.
is mimicking something in real life, and wouldn't surprise me at all. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell you from when I put out ads looking for help, you know, and I told you there's nobody under the age of 40 that's interested in really getting out and working, doing any type of manual labor.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to find. And if they are under 40, and I've talked to them or interviewed them on the phone, semi-interview, and tell them to come in for a face-to-face interview, be here at 7
mm-hmm.
or 7:30 in the morning. I mean, I have a time frame. If I set an appointment,
sure, absolutely.
And I tell you, be here at 7 or 7:30, your ass better be there. Otherwise, don't bother coming knocking
absolutely.
On the door, because after 7:30, I've got other shit I'm doing.
Right.
And the time I allotted for you is gone. I've got a schedule. I've got stuff I
mm-hmm.
have to do. You know, I don't wait on anyone. If you can't be there when you're supposed to, you obviously don't want to go to work. And that's the way I look at
mm-hmm.
it. But 9 times out of 10, that's what happens. You tell somebody to show up at 7 or 7:30 in the morning to fill out their paperwork, fill out an application, come in and have an interview. This is when they're going to be here. You know, the owner, this is when you can talk to the owner. You got a 15-minute slot here to come in and sell yourself, pretty much. And if they don't show
mm-hmm.
up, they can't get out of bed. It's a true story.
Wow.
They can't get out of bed. They show up at 9 or 9:30. Yeah. And you know what they do?
Wow.
What happens when they show up at 9 or 9:30? I'm sorry. You were supposed to be here at 7 o'clock. You'll have to call. And there's the door.
Yeah.
I don't entertain it at all. That's a fact.
No, you shouldn't have to. Shouldn't have to.
Mm-mm.
But a lot of people do, you know. A lot of people do. A lot of people entertain it because, you know, it's hard to find anybody to do those kind of jobs sometimes. Even in the restaurant business. When I was in the restaurant business,
yeah,
it was hard to get people to commit to work. They complain. You give them a task, and if you change the task, they would be so upset
mm-hmm.
and bothered by it. It's just ridiculous. I mean, it's like when there's downtime, you know, you're still paying them. You know, when there's no customers in the door, they're
right.
still getting paid. And that's the thing that they don't understand. You know, you need to clean the tables, you need to clean the chairs, whatever needs to be done. And I remember some servers that I had, they were just so bent out of shape, and they thought that I was slaving them and blah, blah, blah for what they were making. You know, that's why when I go out to eat, and believe me, you've heard me say this, you know, I don't believe anybody deserves 20%. And, you know, if you're going to give me good service, you're going to take care of me, then you deserve 20%. I'm not going to automatically give you 20% because you're a freaking server and you're in college because you should do that. No, I don't believe that. I know absolutely, since I owned a restaurant for many years, that goes out the window for me. You know, I don't expect 20%, earn your 20%, because the job that you're at as a server, you're just a stepping stone for the next job you're going to get. If you treat me like crap at that job, that means you're going to treat me like crap at another job. You know, so when you go work for the Social Security Administration, all of a sudden you're going to have a good attitude and you're going to be nice to people. No, be nice to people when you're a server at the bottom of the pile, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, and create some work ethic, create some kind of, you know, system where you actually are respectful to yourself. Number one, if you respect yourself, then you will respect others. But if you have issues with your own self, you're going to have issues with other people. So, I mean, that's when people tell me that, oh, okay, why'd you only give them like $2? They're college students. They're working hard. You know what? Bull crap. That was the worst service I ever had. And now I'm not going to reward somebody because they did something. I'm not going to give them a fourth place trophy because they competed. You know, you want to win. You want to be on top. You want to be the number one. There's only half a second, you know, tenth, you know, a fraction of a second between first place and second place, even third place.
Uh-huh.
But that person took the one little effort to make something happen, and that's why they are where they're at. They're at the top of the podium. But they have to come back and do it again. So in working, when you're working, it's the same way. You know, I try to teach my staff, you know, that they were important to me, that I value them, that they're, by valuing them, they should value my customers, you know. But it's a weird world out there. You know, some people feel really entitled and they believe that they should, you know, be given this and given that and given a break and given this and that, you know. And, you know, that's not correct. You know, employees are important.
No.
Your employees are your bloodline, and I get that. But there are a lot of owners and a lot of bosses that don't get that concept, that without your employees, you don't have anything unless you're going to do everything.
Yeah.
You know, and that's impossible.
Exactly.
So take care of your employees. If you take care of them, then they'll take care of the people that you come into your door. You don't take care of your employees, they take it out on your customers. They take it out. And I've seen it over and over and over.
That's true in any business, not just serving and restaurant. So, well, you
absolutely.
Know, I mean, that goes with one of my employers had brought up, you know, the tax changes, and we'll see how we do this. You know, the business, the economy should be picking up, and there's tax changes for businesses that should be, you know, really helpful, and the economy should really pick up, and, you know, all this, and, you know, kind of wanting my opinion about it. And I pretty much just turned around and looked, and I said, yeah, you know, it probably is going to help the business owner. I said that the normal employee like me and everybody else, I said, I doubt that we're going to see a whole lot of an increase of anything. I doubt it's going to help us at all. I said, the point of all the tax breaks for the business owners is if the business owners are going to let it trickle down to the employees and if they're going to share the wealth or not. That's what it's going to come down to. He kind of looked at me because I'm telling my boss that, you know, you're probably going to reap a lot of benefits, but unless you share it with me, you aren't going to do shit for me. He just was I think I'll go back to my office.
But it's true. You know, you make a valid point.
Truth.
You make
I'm not
going
to sugarcoat it.
No, that's the problem. Absolutely. That's the valid point.
It is.
You know,
as a business owner, you are as good as your employees make you. And if you don't treat your employees right, then you're not going to have a very profitable business at all. And if you put your employees off because you don't treat them right, they're going to walk out the door and you're going to be scrambling looking for somebody that's competent enough to do your work and run your business. Or your ass is going to be doing it yourself. That's the bottom line.
They have to create a community within the business. And most business owners don't do that. They believe they're the boss.
Right.
And they believe since they've given you the paycheck, you should do what they tell you to do. And, you know, it's...
Exactly.
You're not going to please all the people. You know, you're not going to... You're just not. But you have to be able to create an environment where, you know, things can flourish and people can work together and things can happen. There's a thing I posted on Facebook today where there's a cartoon and it says, "Who wants change?" And there's a question mark at the end and everybody's raising their hand, you know. And the guy's at the podium and he's got his finger up in the sky. And then he goes, the next question, he goes, "Who wants to change?" with a question mark. And everybody's looking down to the ground. No one's raising their hand. And there's this little fly or something flying through the air. So, I mean, that's kind of where it's at, you know. And employers are the same way. They have to know how to create change. And how do you change the people within your organization to work, you know, efficiently for you, profitably for you, and reward them according to, because the company has to make money in order to pay you, and they'll only be able to pay you according to what they bring in. And because to train one person, I believe it costs a lot of money to train. So if your job wanted to train someone like yourself where you work, it would cost them thousands of dollars to train that, somebody to do your job.
It'd take them a couple of months to get somebody trained to do what I do.
So add the months of payments, okay? And then add the years of experience on top of that. To replace you, easily, you know, it probably cost them an easy $30,000 just for a year to train you.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to replace you and to pay them less than they paid you, too.
Right.
Because I guarantee you they wouldn't pay them what they paid you. And that's what's happening around the world right now. People are being replaced by younger people who are ambitious, people who are willing to work, people who are willing to take a pay cut, you know. That's happening a lot. And you find a lot of displaced people because they fall in this old generational belief system. You know, if I work hard, I'm going to get paid. You know, and that has its validity. But you also have to be able to adapt. And I think that's the problem with a lot of Generation X groups is that we don't adapt well. We don't move out of our comfort zones. We stay in there. And, you know, and baby boomers are probably one of the hardest working group, you know, of people who've, you know, came after World War II. You know, it was an explosion of people having babies. And then baby boomers and their older age are having babies or having kids. My dad's an example of that. I have a brother who's in his 20s and a sister who's, you know, in her 20s. These are the children of the baby boomers. So it's pretty fascinating. It's interesting because the baby boomers having babies, they keep, you know, keep the population going. And, you know, our generation, Generation X, you know, that's kind of what it is. X, there's an X factor, you know. When we get into the mold of doing something, we do it or we don't. There's no kind of there's in between, but not very much. We have a lot of great, amazing ideas, but we don't necessarily capitalize on them. And you know, I'm an example of that. You know, I have amazing ideas, but I don't always capitalize on all of them. And it's not because I don't want to. It's just maybe I just wanted to have the idea. And then your traditionalists, well, you know, that's pretty simple, and they're pretty parochial in their belief systems. Even the ones who are very liberal, they're very, very parochial in how they see the world. Those baby boomers, they've created a lot of the millennial group. They're ones that created a lot of the millennial group.
They created havoc.
Yeah, and the Gen Z. My dad created havoc. Yeah, we'll blame my dad. But you know what's so, you know what's cool though? You know what's interesting is the baby boomers who had millennial children, they also incorporated their worth ethic into them. So they're actually very creative. They're very spontaneous, and they're very hardworking too. You know, but then there's also the group who, and here's the Generation X's who are having millennial children, okay, who the worth ethics into their children are kind of different than the baby boomer generation. I've been kind of doing my own little research about that within my circle of influence and just kind of studying a little bit, because the Generation X tries not to be like baby boomer generation. They don't want to be like their parents. They want to be different. They want to do some. They want to do things that are a little bit different than their parents, but yet they still hold the values of their parents. And then whatever their parents did, they don't want to do that because they want their kids to have their own experience. But then they never gave their kids proper direction. So the millennial children who come out aren't able to, you know, gauge the world properly. And I have situations in my personal circle of influence in my life, in my world, where if I would have been a little bit more, you know, maybe like my dad as his baby boomer, where, you know, discipline was more required, who knows what, you know, my millennial kids would have been like. But it's an individual basis. You have to take it person per person. You can't lump everybody into the group on that. But I find it really interesting, and it's been one of those things that I have been really captivated by, is this generational gap and how these generations see the world differently.
Well, it's all in how they're raised and what they're taught early on. So, you know, stuff, training and stuff in our schooling has changed too drastically. So, pretty much that has stuff to contribute also. Like I said, I don't think there's really tech schools out here anymore like there were when we were kids that taught you skilled trades. They don't have classes like home ec and metal shop and stuff like that. I don't hear about that anymore.
These kids don't want to do it. A lot of these kids don't want to be a machinist. They don't even want to work on air conditionings. They don't want to work in electricity. They don't want to do carpentry.
So, you know, let's say the end of the world comes. literally, you know, let's say that, you know, there's this disaster that comes that devastates the land and everything mm-hmm. on it. Who do you think is going to be left around to build it back up with their bare hands?
Well, I'll be one of those. I'll be one of those people because I've been taught those trades to build and to work. And
exactly.
You too.
You know, yeah.
We'll be busy.
The people
we'll be
that,
busy.
The
we'll,
old, we'll, they'll be the old people at that point. You know.
Yeah. And there are people, there are millennials who work and they want to be machinists and stuff, but not as many as you would think. You know, how many, we're a service-oriented country. The United States is a service-oriented country. Everything about the United States is service. You know? Mm-hmm. Everything, you know, fix my computer, you know, I'm on the computer, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to give you this. Everything's a consultant. Everybody's giving advice. Everybody's out there teaching something. But there are very few people in between who do the work. You know, I have my cousins, they're in the heating and air conditioning business. They're pretty well off because they decide not to go to college. They decide to go to trade school and learn. And they're doing pretty well for themselves. And they have several businesses. But you know what? I tried to get my own kids into that, and they were more. They looked down on it. I was like, "Why are you looking down on it? You know, you can go anywhere in the world and work on heating and air conditioning because it's all standardized. You can go to electric because it's all standardized. You know, you can be a plumber.
Exactly.
It's all standardized. You know, and it's like
you always
they don't
have
get
a
it.
Job in those occupations.
Yes,
there's always work
and you know that's
in those occupations.
Absolutely, we don't. We don't teach kids right sometimes when we tell them they have to go to college. College is trying to pump their business. I'm not discounting college. I'm not here attacking the higher educational process, okay? I'm here saying not everybody is adept and not everybody needs to go to college because there's some people who should go to trade schools and learn trades. And then they go through the whole process of going to college and find out that they never really wanted to be there, but they spent all this money to go to college to do something that they never wanted to do. But they only went because their friends went to them, because their parents told them to go to, because the guy over here told them to go to. Everybody's saying, "Oh, if you don't have a college degree, you're not nothing." How many people?
And then
do
you
know
have
$100,000
in debt.
Yes,
you
and you have all those in those
you're
loans. How many people do you? Yeah, but how many people you and I know personally who are higher education than both of us put together, and they can't even get a job?
Yeah, exactly.
They can't. They're not employable unless they go to college or work maybe. But colleges are notorious not to hire older people anymore
because
they rather have other staff and then they have the professor's assistant that he can pawn everything off on. You know, I have friends who are not even putting on their resumes that they have higher education. They're only putting the lowest denominator on there so they can get hired. And you and I had this conversation about this, you know, and, you know, there's a mixed bag feeling about that. You know, you're like, you should put it on. And I'm like, well, maybe you shouldn't. We're both talking about it. You know, if it's apprehending you from getting a position, I find it very bizarre in this country.
That's what's actually apprehending that individual, though, from getting a position. I don't think that's it. I would list it.
Right.
I mean, you have a degree, and that's what I would be really right proud of that. And I would seek employment that is looking for that degree. I think there's also a difference there. When you have a degree and you're seeking a job at a place that isn't looking for a degree, you're wasting your time and you're wasting theirs.
Right.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah. But you're right, though. You're right. I mean, there's jobs out there. There's a work out there. But not everybody's qualified for it, or they're overqualified, or they're in the wrong industry. You know?
You know, I'm lucky. I've got a lot of different trades under my belt. Even though I haven't moved around a lot in jobs, my beginning job search before I landed where I am now, and I've stayed in this occupation for about 25 years because it works for me and I have weekends off. All my other jobs, I didn't, and I usually had to work evenings and weekends, you know. But I have restaurants. I have serving in a bar. in-restaurant experience and working my butt off, standing on my feet, waiting tables, making tips for a living. I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
I've done security. I've done dispatching. I've operated a 200-line switchboard, you know, like an operator.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot of other experience other than what I do now for a living that I can fall back on if something happens to the jobs I have.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the end of the world for me because I've got experience in the printing industry. You know, I've got at least 4 or 5 years experience in that. I know I can go to work at a machine shop if there was one out. I mean, seriously, I have all of
right.
this behind me, and I'm not limited to just one trade because I've only stuck with this trade because it's been the best one that suits me right now, and it has for all this time. I've gained a lot of different experience in the two trades I'm in now. I had a lot of experience
mm-hmm.
that I've gained. If I was to leave both of my places of employment and seek
right.
one job that combines everything that I do, I won't have a problem finding that job, and I will not have a problem finding somebody that'll pay me to do all of that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I know that.
Okay.
I know it sure as I'm sitting here. But
mm-hmm.
something happens to that whole workforce, I have other things I can fall back on because I did them. I could still do them.
Mm-hmm.
Once the old dog learns a trick, it never forgets the trick. So it's just like,
true.
I've got that, you know, I never stuck to just one occupation all of my life. And I'm glad because it definitely broadened my horizons and my knowledge. I didn't get it through a college, but I did incorporate
mm-hmm.
the skill. I have a valuable
yeah, I know.
Set of skills.
I know the feeling. I'm the same way. I like to learn
That's
everything.
Right.
I like
You're
to
Jack
get involved.
Right.
And... Yeah. And I'm happy
you
there.
Can
I'm happy
a little
being
bit
there.
Of everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm happy feeling that and owning that belief about myself. That I'm a jack
yeah.
of all trades and master of none, like they say.
yeah.
How much master do I need to be in order to, you know, to turn a light bulb, you know? But
you know
I'm
what?
Like you. I get that. You know.
You'll never go
what?
Hungry. You'll never go
this
hungry.
This is true.
Because you
and
know how to do all that. And I won't either.
Yeah. I have a little
That's
belly to
bad.
Prove that.
So do I. All right.
But either way, let's take a really quick break, come back, and see where we're at, and maybe we'll just call it a night from there
number.
Since we don't have any callers. Is 646-595-3440 for those of you. What's that?
Nothing. Go ahead.
I didn't hear what you said.
No.
With that attitude, you're not going to find anyone.
All right, go break.
All right, I'll be right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com,
your
free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. WithInsights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
distracting.
All right, we're back.
Yep. Hi. Welcome
Hi.
Back.
That's right.
No.
No. So our lines are empty. Don't you dare.
Don't I dare what? Don't dare what?
It's recording.
And now
did you just fart? Oh my god, you just ripped one.
We have fun on the show.
Oh, you're so funny.
We were getting too serious there with all the generational talk.
I know. This is just.
Yeah, I was getting serious. I was like, yes, here we go. Do some yoga. Do some downward dog and whatever, you know. Getting into that.
Chimichanga. Oh, wait a minute.
I don't know. Chimichanga. I don't know. Backward bend. I don't know. They have so many crazy words.
I know my abs are killing me.
Ashma, Dharma, Gura, Jiva, lotus position. Sitting easing position, squat stretch, arm stretch, stretch arm strong.
Oh my gosh. For those of you that have just joined,
we apologize profusely.
You've come in on the silly part of the show.
Yes, you have.
Oh.
All right, so let's break it down. Let's see. Let's leave things with our listeners. I mean, let's pull another card. Pull another card for me. Then I'll pull one.
I pulled the sun. Happy outcome. Brilliant new ideals that lead to success. And have confidence in yourself. I like that.
All right. I like that one, too. Let me pull one here out of the Native American Oracle cards. Let's see what we got. All right. I pulled the Chief card. The Chief card is follow your path. Others are watching. As they watch, they learn. As you watch, you learn. Stay together. Be like the herd. Be strong like the buffalo. Stand tall. Stand proud. Very good.
Yeah.
So what would you like to leave with our listeners tonight? I know it's not. No snowing. No frozen.
Snow was the first thing that entered my mind.
There you go.
No, you know, it's winter. Winter is here. And it's not all bad. Like I said, we need the water, whether it's in the storm or rain. And snow can be beautiful. I am going to bring up snow. It's pure and it's white when it comes down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it happens at the beginning of the year. So if you want to wipe your slate clean to like a nice white blanket of snow, now's the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now's the time to bring in those fresh new ideas. Get your mind working. If you're unhappy in your situation, at work, at home, relationship, whatever it is, put your mind to work how to change it or to make it better. the answers you have all within in you, you know? All you have
yes.
to do is set aside the time to think about it, whether it's meditate on it or just spend quiet time indoors, outdoors, but quiet time, you know? Go through the thought process. If there's aspects in your life that you're not happy with, try to come up with a solution on how to change it. Keep a positive attitude about everything. Positive attitude always helps your mind, body, soul. It's your thinking and what you say and what it determines how your body reacts to all of your environment. What you think and what you say, it has a profound effect on your body, your health, your mind, your soul. So be mindful. Mindful of what you're putting into your mind, what your eyes see, the thoughts you have. Be mindful of the food you put into your body. This is your health that keeps you alive. And take that 5, 10, 15 minutes, 30 minutes a day. Set it aside for just you to think about whatever your mind wants to think about. And if there's problems, try to release them. Come up with a solution, whatever that time's for. If you give it to yourself, you'll benefit from it. That's what I'm leaving you.
Awesome.
That all started
I like
with
that.
No. How about that?
Impressive. Most impressive.
Third Dart.
I like that. That was
you?
Nice. You know, it's hard to follow something like that.
Long-winded, wasn't it?
No. It wasn't. You know, it's beautiful. It was perfect. I liked it. I think, you know, you have a good point, and I agree with you. You know, it is winter, and there's some things that you do in winter in order to, you know, that you have to go through and feel and, you know, just kind of accept, I guess, to some degree, and work through that process in that darkness and that the confines of your space and your mind. And then little by little, you chip away, you know, the weather changes. The earth rotates into a different axis a little bit, and it gives you a little bit of a chance to see the trees starting to bloom and the grass coming, and then the rains come, and then little by little the sun shines a little bit more. Next thing you know, you have plants and you have beautiful things that come, and you're ready to move into another direction and to blossom like the flower or come out of your cocoon to some degree like the butterfly. And experience the world in a beautiful way, you know, and just forgiving the pieces and parts of you that, you know, have been hard on yourself, and so you are able to work with other people and forgive them as well. One biggest thing is just loving yourself to the best degree that you can, and know that you're doing the best you can with the tools that you have, and I think just enjoy the ride. The ride can be hard right now because it's difficult, because it's whatever. But either way, you know, just know you have people in your life that care about you and love you. And I think that's super important.
Uh-huh.
And I think I'm going to close with our wonderful song. One song that, you know, that I wrote about my friends that I care about. I'm going to play that, close out with that song. You know, just run away with me. Come play. Have fun, you know. I think that's the song I'm going to play. But, you know, it's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be on the air with you and share our thoughts and our feelings and, you know, the things that roll around in there and share with others. And regardless if it's right or wrong for anybody else, it's right for us. And I think that's what's important, is this is a time to reflect who we are and how we see ourselves and how we fit in our lives and fit in other people's lives and how we fit in the world. And I guess that's all I have, really. All right.
And that's enough. That's right.
All right,
everyone. Have a good evening.
Have a nice evening, everybody. We'll see you next week. And in the meantime, if you need to get a hold of me, I'm at iggygarcia.com. If you need to get a hold of Adriana, get a hold of me. And we'll find a way to get a hold of her. All right, guys.
Right.
Take care. Be well. Peace and love. Ho'oponopono. Take care.
Peace and love.
In life,
water. 7,000 plus stood up that day and said no, no, no way. They took rubber bullets, mace to the face, tear gas, burn the grass. They hosed us down, down to the ground that day. The black snake will not come this way, no way. They took rubber bullets and mace to the face that day. Starts 500 years ago today. The Rainbow Tribes, they came that day. They stood together on the shores of the Missouri that day. That day. They made the call to everyone that day to come and stand to.
Thank you.